Welcome to Russell on the Move, LCCC's weekly community affairs update. To keep you connected to our mission of advancing equity through empowerment of children, adults, and families of Russell and other West Louisville neighborhoods. Spend the next hour tuned in right here. Get the latest news of family services, community opportunities, businesses, and economic development, and much more. Hear from our leaders and special guests. Call in to be a part of this history-making broadcast. Join LCCC's movement to create vibrant neighborhood conditions for children, for adults, and businesses to thrive socially, academically, artistically, and economically. This is the next episode of Russell on the Move with your host, Kevin Fields. Leading with vision, educating on economic mobility, advancing equity, developing quality.
Welcome back to Russell on the Move. This is Kevin Fields, the CEO at LCCC. An honor to be back in the studio once again to talk about all things Russell and beyond here in our beautiful city of Louisville. I'm in the studio with my friend and colleague, Brother Herbert Johnson. Good morning, Herbert. Yeah, he's co-hosting from the other side of the studio, so I don't see you, but I hear you. And also in the studio with our engineer, Brother Vince Graves. And Brother Vince, I got to tell you, I was listening while commuting, and you called me out for stopping to pick up coffee and donuts. Now, I realize it's February, Black History Month, and your birthday is coming up, so we'll keep you in mind next week. So we're going to continue our Black History Month series. This is our fourth leg, and it's great to be talking about history-making initiatives in our community as we celebrate Black History Month. Here on Russell on the Move. And Herbert, I woke up with a flashback on my mind. I don't know if you remember the movie, The French Connection.
Well, yes, I do, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was an Academy Award-winning production. Gene Hackman, The French Connection. Well, I had Connection on my mind, and we're going to talk today about the 9th Street Connection because it's important that we're going to be flipping the script and taking a new perspective when we talk about 9th Street as of today, because we're kicking off the Reimagine 9th Street project as a part of this broadcast and as a part of this day. This day is dedicated to the kickoff of a major transformational project. And, we've heard about 9th Street in terms of the 9th Street divide and, you know, all the socioeconomic concerns that come with that, and certainly at LCCC, that's key to our mission of addressing equity and closing these disparities. And when you hear about 9th Street, you often hear about the economic disparities. But we're going to make a connection between West Louisville and downtown through this project, Reimagine 9th Street. And we're honored and blessed to have a distinguished panel of experts that are leading on that project. In the studio with me is Amira Palacios, who is in charge of the communication and community engagement aspect of this project. Good morning, Ms. Amira.
Good morning.
Yeah, welcome to the studio. Also in the studio with me is Jonathan Albers, who is a traffic engineer in both Jonathan and Amira, I've been told, are with HDR, but good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning.
Welcome to the studio, and on the line with us is a colleague and friend and associate that I know has been working hard on this project for many years, Michael King with the Louisville Office of Economic Development. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
Yeah, there you are. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. We want to get right into this conversation about Reimagine 9th Street, but it's a tradition on this show that all of our guests get the opportunity to introduce themselves to our listening audience and give just a little bit of personal, professional bio on yourself. And we want to remind our listeners that you will have the opportunity to call into the broadcast. And we have a brand new call-in number. That number is 502-795-1019. 9. So write that down. And Brother Vince, is that going to be the number? We got to all put that in our minds and hearts and in our cell phones and so forth. 502-795-1019 is the new calling number. So let's, again, welcome our guest. And I'd like to ask each one of you, starting with you, Amira.
Sure.
Just introduce yourself to our audience and tell a little bit about yourself personally, your background, but also your professional work.
So for HDR, I'm a strategic communications lead, and I focus on all things public infrastructure. And this work is so personal to me because I was born and raised in Louisville. I see the impact of public infrastructure on quality of life, well-being, economic prosperity, all the things. And so I really look at this project. We talk about the 9th Street divide, but really it's the 9th Street opportunity. So really happy to be here.
The 9th Street opportunity. I like it. Let's flip it over. All right. Good. Jonathan, you want to introduce yourself?
Morning, absolutely. Jonathan Albers, traffic engineer with HDR. I'm going to be the design lead on the Reimagine 9th Street project. Been in Louisville for the last 6 years and really learned a lot and really excited about this once-in-a-generation opportunity to change what 9th Street means to the community.
That's so true. Once in a generation. And welcome to the show. Traffic engineer. Does that mean you have a civil background?
Yes, a civil background, both in traffic and roadway engineering. So okay. I'll be leading both of those parts of the project.
Well, we got a lot to talk about, my friend, because I, too, have a civil engineering background.
Oh,
and
nice.
Transportation engineering was a part of my earlier career, having worked on airport expansion and all the roadway systems out there, the airport. But let me just jump to friend Michael King, who's on the line. Good morning, Michael. Let's have an introduction of yourself.
Good morning. Yeah, my name is Michael King. I'm the director of Louisville Metro's Office of Planning. We are beyond excited to have been awarded this federal grant to bring the Reimagine 9th Street project to life. I've been with Louisville Metro for about 18 years. I've been an urban planner and worn a lot of different hats over the years in my time here. Lifelong Louisvillian and really looking forward to making 9th Street less of a place for cars and more of a place for people and something that's going to unite the community instead of divide it. So we're really excited for this process.
Well, again, we're excited to have the top brass of leaders that are working on this project. So, Michael, I'd like to ask you the question, since this is being led by Louisville Metro Government and you're the primary lead on it, at least I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but however, give us an overview of the project, Reimagine 9th Street, and tell us a little bit about the significance of it in terms of what it will yield in terms of results in our community.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Reimagine 9th Street process came out of a sort of larger transportation effort that we did for the city of Louisville, which is called Move Louisville, which is the city's long-range multimodal transportation plan. And basically it said we need to start looking at our infrastructure and starting to bring it into the 21st century in a way that we haven't done in a long time. And one of those top priorities was 9th Street. So we completed a plan with a group called Gehl Architects in 2016. It was a very publicly driven process to talk about reimagining 9th Street and taking down that proverbial divide that's there and looking at a way to make it feel more like a place and more of a connection. So that plan was the concept for what we've, for the last several years, been trying to get the funding through the federal government processes. And in 2022, we were fortunate enough to receive a RAISE grant, which is part of the bipartisan infrastructure law. So we were awarded about $15 million towards the $25 million project from the federal government. And as a result, what we're going to be able to do over the next couple of years is take that conceptual idea of 9th Street, get it to the construction level engineering drawings that we need, and then actually construct that. In addition, a really exciting part of this process is going to be that this will also include the one-way to two-way conversions of Muhammad Ali and Chestnut Streets from roughly 7th Street all the way to their western termini out there. And that's something that the community has been talking about for a really long time, is increasing connectivity, as well as looking at ways to make those roads safer. So when it's all said and done, 9th Street's really going to become less of the way that it functions now, which is almost an extension of the on and off ramps there at 64, and become more of a sort of urban street that that has a lot of amenities associated with it, a lot of landscaping, and really feels like something that people will be proud of and excited to see moving forward.
Awesome, awesome. Amir, would you add anything to that overview?
You know, it's really interesting. You start talking about 9th Street and what it represents, but have you ever tried to actually cross 9th Street and walk it? That's a question for you, Kevin.
Absolutely. You know, 9th Street's been a part of my life journey from day one, growing up in the neighborhood. And so from a personal perspective and a professional perspective, I spent 14 years working at the Louisville Metro Housing Authority, right there on 9th and Ali.
So how did it feel to actually cross it?
And, well, it depends on whether you're talking about crossing it on foot or in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, but on foot, you better look both ways and be careful and, you know, get to the middle of the island, stop, you know, wait again.
They're going really fast.
They're going really fast. And even in a car, you know, those synchronized lights on Ali Boulevard make it very treacherous. And we witness at least, you know, multiple accidents every year at that intersection, at all the intersections on Ali Boulevard. In fact, it is pretty treacherous.
You know, one of the things I really like about this project is that it helps us move towards a complete street. Jonathan, you have a really great definition of what that means, but when we talk about making 9th Street safer for people, so when you walk it, it doesn't feel, you don't feel like you're in danger. You can actually take your time and you don't have to necessarily be as vigilant about looking both ways, right? What does a complete street look like?
Yeah, so a complete street is one where we take into consideration the needs of all of the transportation network users. You know, in the history, the transportation network in Kentucky in the United States has been thought about moving the most number of cars as quickly as possible. And complete streets is about taking a step back and thinking about the context of every street throughout the transportation network and making sure that we're not focusing on the wrong context in the wrong places. So if a street is an interstate, then yes, we're moving a lot of cars quickly. But if a street should be a neighborhood street, then we need to be focusing on safety, both for the car users, pedestrians, bicyclists, you know, neighborhood kids playing, you know, everyone needs to be considered, and we need to make sure that they are as safe as possible, because, you know, moving people through the network doesn't do very much good if we're putting everyone in danger at the same time.
You know, that's very interesting. And certainly I got a bevy of technical questions for you, Jonathan, but I'm not going to dive right into those yet, because I want to reflect a little bit on Michael's comment, because as he stated, you know, this project is started back in 2016, and we have been engaged in that from our vantage point. So, yeah, Michael, I remember us meeting the Gale Associates and getting a chance to hear that vision and have some input and voice, because we've been actively planning for a resurgence of Muhammad Ali Boulevard as a part of our Ali Boulevard Arts and Culture District planning. And, you know, that's a major intersection there at 9th and Ali, and certainly there's some things to talk about there. But I just wanted to, you mentioned the $14, $15 million seed fund that came from the federal government. I just want to say shout out to our former congressman who took care of that. And, you know, he made it possible. So shout out to blank on his name, Congressman
Yarmuth.
Thank you. Don't tell him I couldn't. You know, that's a senior moment I just had. But yeah,
dramatic pause. You were trying to make it that much more hyped up.
Yeah, Congressman John Yarmuth, and certainly his predecessor or his successor, Congressman McGarvey, is doing a phenomenal job too. But shout out to him, as well as shout out to former Mayor Greg Fisher, because I know the mayor put several rounds of funding in his budgets. And so you've got a $25 million seed fund to spare this project, a major economic investment. And I want to know kind of from a, economic development standpoint, what that looks like in terms of how the project is going to connect with community. Amir, I heard you say 9th Street opportunity. That's a clarion call. There's opportunity here. What does it look like and how do we connect to it?
You know, it's really interesting. We did some initial kind of stakeholder meetings in December, and we heard from groups like the Urban League and others that said, how can we be part of the once we all get consensus on what 9th Street will become, how can we be part of building it and being part of the actual putting up the infrastructure together? And so when I think about the economic development aspects, it's, I think we're all at the table wanting to move forward together in a way where we do it together. And what that looks like, not only just from a programming standpoint, but also the folks who are actively working on the project, getting the contracts, and also even possibly a workforce development part of it. You know, you have Central High School right there. What can students learn from this project, and how can we inspire the next generation of engineers and construction managers and all of those really great opportunities that come from people seeing, having a front row seat to this transformation. So there's so much that will come from this. And I really look forward to finding ways to connect people to it again and again.
Well, and folks, we're doing the kickoff event for Reimagine 9th Street as a project this evening. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. This evening at 5 o'clock, we're honored to be the host venue at our old Walnut Street campus, 1300 West Ali. So if you're listening and you want to get out, be engaged in the conversation about Reimagine 9th Street, you have that opportunity this evening. But I wanted to talk about, there's a lot of interest. There's a lot of things that go through my mind about this project. I'm going to talk about 3 points of interest, and I think I've talked to you guys about that as we were convening a few weeks ago. One of the things is this Ali Boulevard Arts and Culture District project, which we, administered with the support of Louisville Metro government back in 2016, 2017. And we have a master plan for that. It's not funded, but it does give some design principles and guidelines. That's one point of interest. Another and probably more important point of interest is our Mini-Versity Child Development Center, which has been on 9th Street since 1974, right there at 9th between Jefferson and Liberty. And thirdly, I serve on the board as a board secretary for Waterfront Development Corporation. And we're doing a major expansion project, the Phase 4 westward expansion of Waterfront Park. And so each one of those touch points on the 9th Street Boulevard are of interest. And so I wanted to talk about some of the design work from your standpoint, Jonathan, in terms of how will the design process entertain a relationship building around not only our initiatives, but other initiatives, because you can have business along 9th Street. How do you make sure the community is engaged and have a voice in that process?
Well, yeah, as you mentioned, all three of those points are very big community pillars. And to have them on 9th Street and Ali and on Chestnut right now doesn't necessarily fit the purpose of when those roads were modified in the 1960s as part of urban renewal. 9th Street was turned from a regular city street into its current configuration as part of focusing on moving commuters in and out of downtown as quickly as possible. And same thing with the one-way conditions on Ali and Chestnut. Those are focused on getting drivers into downtown and out to 264 as quickly as possible. And so thinking about changing the character of 9th Street, changing the character of Ali and Chestnut to those two-way streets is going to go a long ways towards reinforcing the community context of those streets. That these are places where people want to be, people want to convene, small businesses, neighborhoods, and I think you should mention the way that people can get involved is that, the high-level concepts have been completed. There's still a lot of design to be done, and, even we mentioned, it was done in 2016. A lot of things have changed since 2016, And, you know, we want to hear from the community, you know, what does the community want to get out of this? Because at the end of the day, you know, it'll be turned over to the community to be their place. And so we want to make sure that the context and everything that actually gets built meets the needs and the vision of the community.
You know, it's interesting, Jonathan, there are housing communities literally on both sides of 9th Street.
Absolutely.
So this is their, you know, front yard, backyard, side yard. This is literally all around them. And so how can we work with them to like put in amenities and things that they will find useful? How can we make transit convenient? How can we do things that help health outcomes and make them, you know, make their day a little easier?
Absolutely, Amira. That's so important because those families, it's really, you know, it's all about the community, which means it's all about the people and the families that live and have lived in that community for a long time. And how would this enhance the quality of life for them? And we have a strong interest in the children. You know, we have a child development center there. And how will the children interface with that environment? That's very, very important. And I know that there's going to be a lot of talk about those kinds of things, right?
You know, it's really interesting when you look at the actual Gale Associates conceptual report. One of the things that one of the project elements that they were putting forth for 9th Street actually focuses on play and recreation, which is really interesting. And then the other elements, there was a downtown art link, and also, correct me if I'm wrong, Jonathan, what were the other ones?
I believe one of them was the like business development area.
A retail front
retail
porch.
Street front porch.
Mm-hmm. And there's two more. There was a connection to the waterfront. That's not part of this project scope, but
community garden.
Yes, community garden.
Community garden. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's all these different things that we're starting to
we're
think
gonna have
about.
Community garden on that. And I know there's a linear park that stretches what?
Yeah, the
Market
urban parkway
Street
concept. Yes.
To Broadway, is that right?
Yeah, part of that conceptual design. You know, we have these different ideas for 9th Street. How much
of
these
concept? That's not a hard design yet.
Yeah, exactly what Jonathan was saying. We have these, you know, concepts of what we know could go there, and now we need the community's help to tell us, well, how much of this is important to you? Do you want more of a downtown art link, or do you want more playing recreation? Is that more important? Should that 9th Street corridor, should that be 50% or 70% of a playing recreation or the learning lab? Because we have the schools right there. So community can really help us inform this part of the design and build upon some of those initial concepts that the Gale Report put together back in, was it 2018?
Yeah. And, you know, as I think about it, you know, there's a lot of opportunity here, but there's also some hard questions, some tough subject matter that need to be addressed. I'm thinking about it from a design standpoint first. How do you create defensible spaces, spaces that can be controlled and monitored and have surveillance that don't set up for more illicit activity? And it does happen in our community all over, not just in West Louisville. We know we got a real homeless problem. How do we make sure the encampments don't grow? And they're right now already at 9th Street and Market, right there at the overpass. And so one of the questions too, Michael, and I hate to keep thinking like an engineer, but I am. So how do we deal with that maze of concrete and steel, the ramp coming off of 64? How does it, how will it impede or how will it integrate with this new vision for 9th Street?
Well, and that was something we heard from that original process with Gale was the challenges that are the off-ramp and the on-ramp right there for I-64. Unfortunately, this project isn't able to tackle the exact design of that interchange or even the potential removal or whatever the future that may hold. This one focuses more on 9th Street, but what this one is going to do is stop letting 9th Street be that extension of that off-ramp. So we'll, by design, immediately start slowing people down before they get onto the surface streets and before they get down to ground level. And then through there, too, the activation of 9th Street with placemaking opportunities and those sort of things gets a lot more feet on the street. And when you have sort of of people out a lot more. It's that sort of theory that the feet on the street are actually kind of a deterrent to a lot of the negative things that can happen out there in the world today. So by making it a place that doesn't have cars just flying off the interstate ramps anymore, that we're slowing the cars that are still using that down and then making it a place that people want to be, we start to populate it and make it more active, which in turn has a lot of offsetting positive effects.
Awesome. Thank you, Michael. And then on the other side of the coin is, you know, I was just thinking about, was it what, 10, 15 years ago, there was a major investment on the same corridor south of Broadway. Is 9th Street a state road?
It is not.
It's not?
No.
It's a city road?
Yes.
But I was thinking the state did a major extension south of Broadway that maybe was a city project too, where we added those six lanes and you've got the overpass there at Oak Street and that whole Oak Street exchange, you know, where 9th Street kind of rolls over into 7th Street. So I was just thinking about that and the traffic. Michael, Jonathan, you are a traffic engineer. What does the traffic study say about the volume of traffic that will be loaded onto this reduced, constricted section of 9th Street?
Yeah, that's a very important part. And, you know, as a sidecar, as an equally important consideration to changing the context of 9th Street, we also have to make sure that we're not going to restrict 9th Street to the point where it's going to break down and traffic, and in particular the industrial traffic, has to go via different routes. So we are going to be making sure that the truck traffic that currently utilizes 9th Street and all of the traffic that currently utilizes 9th Street still can, in a way that provides an acceptable level of service, minimal delay. But one of the things to consider as we've been getting into the traffic study is that the volumes along 9th Street as compared to 2019 are currently down about 40% in peak volume. And so, I believe 9th Street was probably already over-designed in 2019, and so it's even more over-designed right now. So as we look at each of these concepts from the complete streets and community perspective, we're going to be running them all through our traffic checks to make sure that we're continuing to provide that good level of service. But as Mike said, you know, we want to make sure that when drivers arrive there, that visually they don't see an expressway, that they see a community street, and that, you know, when you see a community street, you drive and often respect it like a community street.
Yeah.
And when you see an expressway, you drive like it is an expressway, no matter what the speed limit signs you put up say. It's the geometrics, it's the, you know, the layout that oftentimes determines how drivers behave, even, you know, much more than the signs you put up.
You know, sometimes I even see that in certain neighborhoods, Kevin. Mm-hmm. I'll see a sign that says, drive like your children live here.
Yes.
And hopefully one day that's what we'll see on 9th Street.
I love that aspect of the project in terms of creating a different feel. I heard Mayor Greg Greenberg say at his State of the City address, he referred to downtown as a neighborhood, and it caught my attention. But when I thought about it, yeah, if we want to create better connection between downtown and the Westwood neighborhoods and all of the neighborhoods, we need to treat downtown like a neighborhood. And that's the thing about 9th Street. 9th Street has not only been this large six-lane divided highway that, you know, creates this phobia and this divide, but it's also a hard border between downtown and West Louisville. And so when we soften that border, because our job at LCCC is, how do we, you know, increase more economic activity, more economic vitality? We know downtown is the heartbeat of our community economically, and so we need to see some of that economy come west. But I think your project is going to help to spur that. So, folks, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to open the lines after the break. We do have a brand new call-in number at WLV, 502-795-1019. We're going to entertain your questions or comments after the break. We know one of the things we're going to talk about with Michael King, I know part of this project he's been working on is this two-way conversion of Ali Boulevard and Chestnut Street. I know that's going to affect a lot of people. And so we're going to talk about that when we come back. So we'll be right back after the break.
Attention Louisville, this is Deborah Grant, Director of Operations of Louisville Central Community Centers, here to introduce you to the gem of West Louisville, the old Warner Street Family Strengthening and Convention Center. Immerse yourself in 30,000 square feet of versatile and top-notch event space designed for your family gatherings, community functions, and corporate events. Our facility is your canvas. Whether you're planning an intimate affair or a large-scale celebration, what sets us apart? Quality. Our commitment to provide a space that enhances your event. Affordability. Ensuring that hosting memorable moments won't break the bank. And of course, accessibility. Enjoy stress-free parking with ample free spaces. On behalf of LCCC, I want to personally invite you to experience the unmatched charm of Old Warner Street. For more information or to book your next event, reach out to me, Deborah Grant, 502-583-8821, or shoot me an email, dgrant@lcccnews.org. Make your event memorable. Make them at Old Warner Street.
Happy Black History Month, Louisville. This is Reverend Jeffrey Ellis, a retired pastor and city government leader, community activist, and honored member of the Lyman T. Johnson Honor Society. At Louisville Central Community Centers, LCCC stands as a beacon of hope, offering educational opportunities, fostering economic mobility, and creating a place where community spirit thrives. Yet, to continue advancing equity, they need the collective effort of support from all of us. So, I implore you, the heartbeat of Louisville, to stand with me, Reverend Jeffrey Ellis, in backing LCCC. Your donations and volunteerism can truly transform the lives of those who need it most. Discover how you can contribute by visiting lcccnews.org or calling 502-583-8821. Let's unite and ensure LCCC remains strong in our community for decades to come. Help make Black history. Support LCCC.
This is Kevin Fields from Louisville Central Community Center, celebrating Black History Month by honoring Black history makers from right here in Louisville, like Reverend Jeffrey Ellis.
Born and raised in Louisville, Reverend Jeffrey S. Ellis served as pastor of churches here and in Elizabethtown. With over 25 years of ministry, he has overseen the growth and movement of congregations and remains active in the African Methodist Episcopal Church. Reverend Ellis is a passionate community activist, having worked with various government agencies and community organizations. As a respected pastor and activist, Reverend Jeffrey S. Ellis continues to inspire positive change and uplift the lives of those around him.
Paying tribute to Louisville's Black history makers, this is Kevin Fields from Louisville Central Community Center. Visit us at 1300 West Muhammad Ali Boulevard or call us 502-583-8821. Check us out online at lccnews.org. Remember, Black history is American history.
Louisville Central Community Centers is celebrating 75 years of service to the community. LCCC is officially announcing the 75-year challenge and pledge. Join in the celebration and pledge your support by donating $75 today. Your donation goes directly to support the families we serve daily. Mail your donations to LCCC, 1300 West Muhammad Ali, 40203. Call 502-853-8821 or log on to lccnews.org.
Are you ready to make a real impact in your community? Look no further than AmeriCorps Vista's Russell Neighborhood Capacity Building Project at LCCC. Become a Vista Community Impact Ambassador. Become a catalyst for positive change. Picture yourself working hand-in-hand with local leaders, organizations, and residents to empower the Russell neighborhood. As a Vista volunteer, you'll play a vital role in creating lasting solutions to address poverty and inequality. Your dedication will help build a stronger, more vibrant community for everyone. Make a difference, make connections, and make memories that will last a lifetime. Join the AmeriCorps Vista team at LCCC's Russell Neighborhood Capacity Building Project today. Visit our website at lcccnews.org. To learn more and apply. Be the change you want to see in the world. Become a AmeriCorps Vista Community Impact Ambassador, where your passions meet action.
Welcome back to Russell on the Move. Kevin Fields, CEO at LCCC, and we're celebrating a big D day in our community, the kickoff of the Reimagine 9th Street Project. And we're blessed to have a distinguished panel on the show, Amira Palacios, Jonathan Albers, and Michael King. And folks, our lines are open. If you want to call in with your questions or comments, now would be a good time to do that. That number here is 502-795-1019. We're going to continue our conversation. During a break, we had a great conversation about the two-way street conversion aspect of this project, which will affect a large segment of our community, both downtown and west of 9th Street. And I've heard somebody say the two-way conversion is from end to end. But Amira and I were talking about that. You want to share your experience with that, maybe give some perspective on why that's so important, this two-way conversion?
Absolutely. So I have a lot of personal connections to two-way conversions in Louisville, just speaking from experience. I remember the day I was in, at the time, my uncle's coffee shop, Expressions of View, shout out to my uncle James Linton, 18th Muhammad Ali. I was sitting there with my cousin Imani, and a car literally came right through the front door. I saw the car coming, I grabbed her, ran to the back of the coffee shop. Had I been 5 seconds slower, I would not be here talking to you right now. And yeah. So when we think about those one-way streets, Muhammad Ali and Chestnut, people are going so fast.
Yes.
In Jonathan's world, we call that crash severity, right? And so the ability to take these streets, which are, you know, creating a not so safe feel for the people who live there every day, and slowing that traffic down is going to do so much to really benefit and create a better quality of life for those neighborhoods. So fast forward more than, you know, 20 years later, and I worked with Mike and Jonathan and others to lead public engagement on when we were doing the design for Muhammad Ali and Chestnut conversions. And it was so, it's so interesting when you look at the community demographics, who lives on Muhammad Ali and Chestnut. It's mostly Black female heads of households with children, yes. Right? So when you think about who is actually living on those streets and what these conversions will do, it's really going to bring a whole nother dimension to the look and feel of those spaces. And I also really look forward to what these conversions will do for businesses along Chestnut Street and Muhammad Ali, because we know there's a lot of really great research on what conversions can do as far as improving the economic prosperity of what's around it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So very exciting that in early 2025, we will have some tangible, something we can see and feel this change in the community on this project through those initial conversions.
So HDR's role, I know this is a design and construction project that we're kicking off. And talk about that in terms of how much time left in the design phase and when will we see an actual construction phase starting?
Right. So one of the things that we're working on setting up with the FHWA right now, since the money is coming from the federal government, Louisville Metro is going to be coordinating with the Federal Highway Administration on the funding and the schedule and everything. They are in the early stages of allowing us to actually break the Ollie and Chestnut conversions out into a separate bid package, as that work was done in 2020 and 2021, and then it had to be shelved due to funding. It's more or less ready to move into the final stages of approval and to get ready for bidding. So the Ollie and Chestnut conversions, those are going to be the ones that people are going to see in the field first. And then as far as 9th Street goes, you know, we're going to be starting with the public kickoff, getting all the public input, and then moving into doing conceptual designs, following up with more public input on what the actual conceptual designs look like, then going through kind of the more traditional design process of going through preliminary engineering and final design. And that'll mean design wrapping up 2026 timeline. But like I said, the Ollie and Chestnut design, that work's already done, paid for by Louisville Metro, and should be ready to be in the field quite a bit quicker.
So it sounds like in total, this could be what, 3 to 5 year project?
I believe that's correct.
It's just really fast.
Yeah.
Engineer land.
That's awesome. So, yeah, that two-way conversion, believe it or not, I grew up in the neighborhood, and I remember when Walnut Street back in that day was a two-way street in our neck of the woods. And I believe it was a part of the urban renewal process that tore down a lot of the infrastructure that we begin to see the traffic patterns change. But you're right. What do you call it, crash alley or?
Crash severity.
Crash severity. We witness collision accidents frequently at 13th and Ali.
Well, one of the interesting things that we discovered during the design process was we pulled travel pattern data. And we found that traffic that was moving from the interstate to downtown and vice versa via Ollie and Chestnut, vehicles that were making that travel pattern that were not making intermediate stops in the neighborhood, were on average traveling about 20% faster than vehicles that were coming to and from the neighborhood. And so, again, that tells you that just the context on those streets needs to be corrected to the you know, when you look at the land use along there, it's homes, it's businesses, you know, it's not a commuting expressway.
And the synchronized traffic signals, I mean, that promotes speeding.
Right, and that's another thing that the Ollie and Chestnut conversion project is going to be doing is we actually worked with Louisville Metro and KYTC, and I can't remember the exact number off the top of my head, but several of the traffic signals along that corridor are going to be removed and replaced with four-way stops. And that's something that Louisville Metro has completed on many other corridors around town, in the Highlands, in Old Louisville, and they've seen very good results in reducing, again, the severity of crashes. That when we have crashes that occur at traffic signals, many times you have both vehicles approaching that signal at speed, you know, one having a green light, the other not. And so, you know, even when you're in the right, you could be involved in a very severe accident. So if you approach a four-way stop and you stop and then you go, you may still be involved in an accident. Can't prevent all accidents, but the severity of those crashes is shown to decrease. And again, that's about improving the safety of the community. And again, and those four-way stops also go a long ways towards changing the context of the street. That, you know, when we have, you know, synchronized signals are good. You know, we like to try to move traffic efficiently, but again, you know, but we don't have to move traffic efficiently on every street in the metro area. Some of them need the context of the neighborhood.
Awesome. We do have a caller on the line. I want to get a caller on the conversation with us. I'm going to come back and talk about safety and economics in a moment. But caller, give us your name, a question, or comment. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks. My name is Brian. When I was listening to everything, I think it's, I love the idea of the one-way street conversions, those pieces like that, and how that helps the neighborhood itself. I guess I would, what I'd ask the team to remember is that people still, and I know we could word it differently, and we are, like reimagining 9th Street because we want to wipe out things about that 9th Street divide, that mentality. But as somebody new to Louisville, I think fundamentally, I guess I would ask you to remember that it's more about getting, let's say, downtown, west of 9th Street, than it is about everybody who's west of 9th Street getting downtown. You know, I feel like people who are already west of it, I know it's hard to cross the street, and I get that, but when I imagine people crossing the street, I want it to be that all that visitor tourism, you know, everything, people feel ease of getting west, crossing to the west, especially, too, and that will help drive so much more safety and economic development, pieces like that. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, Brian. And you're speaking our language because, you know, we talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I like to say that pendulum swings both ways when it comes to 9th Street. And there's a lot of initiatives aimed at bringing West Louisville residents into downtown or into the other parts of a community. But we need to see it reciprocate more because of the economic needs of the neighborhoods. And we need businesses to thrive. And there are businesses that are growing in West Louisville, and we need customers. We need customers with disposable income. So your point is well taken. Absolutely, absolutely. Anybody, you want to elaborate on that, Amira?
Well, I'll just add, we know that in our downtown, it's about 4,800 residents, mm-hmm. and they love looking for things to do and how to spend their money and entertainment and all those things. And so it's definitely hopeful that this project will put amenities and things in retail for downtown residents to engage in. So that's a great opportunity to, again, bring residents further west into 9th Street. And we do this project, I'm hoping we can think about things that will attract those tourists and residents, those 4,800 residents, into the Western Corridor a bit more.
Yeah, and one of the things that came up in our stakeholder meetings and that we would love to hear more from the public as well is that, to make sure that is an equal two-way crossing, or making it as easy to go east to west and west to east. And one of the things we talked about potentially adding were, wayfinding signs to points of interest in West Louisville, to take people that are not familiar with the community and say, hey, there are more destinations beyond this. You know, right now it's a boundary and we can knock that boundary down, but let's continue to draw people further and show them, hey, look, there are businesses, there are historical markers, there are things that you can continue to go and see beyond this point.
Awesome. We do have another caller on the line. We're going to take that call. Welcome to the show. Give us your question or comment, please.
Hi, this is Alexis Jones.
Hey, Alexis.
My question is, as you guys said, this project will impact a lot of people on both sides. What would you say to those who may be concerned about how the construction process will impact their business? And do you have any words of encouragement or any words to calm or ease their concerns?
I'll take a first stab at that and I'll toss it to Jonathan. It's so important as we look at this project that we look at the needs of all stakeholders. And for those who may see any type of construction impacts, it's a temporary, inconvenience, but still pretty significant. And so communication is a big part of, how we will deal with this. So first of all, understand the needs of those stakeholders and how this project will impact them, both good and bad, and the challenges associated with that. And really leaning in to bring both sides to the table to understand those impacts and how to navigate them successfully. So I look forward to engaging those who do have concerns. And I think we want them to come forward with that so that we can understand that and incorporate that into our implementation of the project.
Yeah, that's a great point, Amira. And, one of the things that I can say is that the one-way to two-way conversions are really a very low impact as far as construction goes. Besides the construction and the removal of signals, it's really just adding signs and pavement markings. So really there should be very minimal impacts to businesses along Ollie and Chestnut. And when it comes to 9th Street, the length and the duration of the construction is something that we heard comments about during our stakeholder meetings, and about, maybe some construction wariness from the community from all the Beecher Terrace and other construction that's been going on in the area. And so that was something that was great input, and it really made us think about. And one of our concepts that we're currently working on is going to be a called a low impact alternative, attempting to find a way to reduce that construction timeline as much as possible. Maybe it's something that we sacrifice a little bit on the entirely newness of the project to make sure that it gets executed as quickly as possible. So again, as Amira said, we'd love to continue to hear input like that from the community and make sure that we're thinking about it from all angles.
Awesome. Alexis, was that it for you?
Yes, that's all.
All right. Thank you for calling in. Appreciate it. And Amira, I was going to ask you to talk about tonight, the kickoff event, and the public is welcomed. And let's pitch the opportunity for folks to show up and then talk about what the experience will look like.
Yeah, this is the beginning of re-engaging the community on Reimagine 9th Street. It's not your only opportunity to engage. We're hoping to come back to you with some design concepts. Jonathan's team's working really hard to bring us those design alternatives, and we're hoping to do that in June. But tonight, beginning at 5, you'll be able to learn more about that 2018 Gale report. If you're not familiar with it, we'll be reintroducing that and saying, hey, these were the initial concepts that we're building upon for this project. So learning about that. And then we're hoping to start to get some input from the community on, when we think about the elements and the concepts, tell us how much you like certain concepts. How much of it do you want on the 9th Street corridor? And so tonight's a really great opportunity to give the team feedback on, the details and specifics and ideas of some of the things that we know we want there. But we really need the community to give us context and to say, hey, this was my memory of Ninth Street. Can we bring this back? Growing up, we had this particular business. It'd be great to see that back again. Or we really want to connect the community with a learning lab that does this, or a historical trail that tells the story. We're hearing so many things about what could possibly be there. And now we're really getting to the details of what to actually put there. So we want the community to come out, bring their ideas, learn more about some of those initial concepts and what we're building upon. And more importantly, we want to do this with you. So we want you to come out. It's only from 5 to 7, but it's not, and it's also not your only opportunity to engage. There are really multiple opportunities to tell us what you think about this project. Tonight is really the kickoff of reintroducing some of the initial work that was done. And you get the opportunity to meet the project team and the people who are at the forefront of really making this project happen. So it's a great opportunity. We're really excited about it. And it should be a really great way to really get to the details of what's going to be put there and designed.
Awesome.
And Jonathan?
Jonathan, want to add something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, like Amiri said, you know, we're coming with just the Gale report, and there's a lot to do and a lot of a blank slate. And, you know, most of the design team lives in Louisville, works in Louisville. But, you know, we're not residents, all of us, of that neighborhood. And so we want to make sure that, you know, the people that are going to be impacted by these changes the most have an opportunity to really speak directly to what they want and need out of the changes to the corridor. And kind of like you mentioned, you know, that a lot of the potential negative outcomes of a project like this can be headed off by making sure that the community is able to take ownership of it, and that, you know, the actual activation of these areas, you know, once they're no longer unused roadway, is really going to be key. And I hope that the community gets a chance to make sure that they can get their input in and take ownership once it's ready to be opened.
That's really interesting. I mean, part of this project, Jonathan, we actually brought in Tom Owen, kind of the city historian. Mm-hmm. Tell us about Ninth Street, Tom. And one of the things that we started to realize, and Tom sort of talked about this, is the how Ninth Street was named Roy Wilkins. There's a really wonderful opportunity, Kevin, for the community to really reclaim Ninth Street and connect it to something that's maybe more relevant and more dear to the heart of the Louisville community. So that's not necessarily our scope of the project, but it seems like one of the byproducts is a reclaiming.
I was going to ask that question. I'm glad you reminded me. You know, Roy Wilkins Boulevard. Roy Wilkins is a well-known African-American activist and leader, and it was named in his honor. And this is Black History Month. So
yes.
How do you tackle that concern or issue, or is it an issue?
Yeah, it's interesting. You look at the historical context. Roy's not a Louisvillian, you know, so I think there's definitely some conversation on, will this community want to reclaim Roy Wilkins and possibly rename it to something that's more Louisville context and more specific? That's something that's being discussed. And, you know, I look forward to the community really, you know, maybe giving us some sense of if they desire that. But it seems like there's a lot of different ways to connect to the project and give us the context of what's really important to the people who actually live there.
Well, Herbert, I wanted you to get your question in. I know you've got at least one.
Actually, I had a couple questions, but I just got a comment from a friend that wanted to know, are roundabouts part of the change in the traffic flow?
The roundabouts are not part of the Gale plan. They are something that we will consider.
I see.
You know, they are a useful tool when it comes to calming traffic and, again, changing the context. You know, when you look at Ninth Street as an expressway, if you drive down a roadway with a roundabout, again, you don't think about it as an expressway. You really start paying a lot more attention. You know, again, it changes drivers from looking multiple blocks down the road to looking right in front of them. So it's something that it is probably going to be featured in one of our concepts. We'll take a very close look at the both the safety and the travel time impacts of it, because that is one of the marching orders we've been given by Louisville Metro, is to make sure that absolutely nothing that gets constructed roadway-wise on Ninth Street or the other corridors has the potential for a decrease in the safety compared to the existing conditions. Everything is going to be increasing safety for all users.
I like it. Safety's very important. Safety. Okay. Good deal. Look forward to tonight. I think tonight's going to be good for the community and the opportunity to hear more. So looking forward to it.
And I wanted to ask one more question, Amir, about community engagement beyond tonight. What's the long range plan for community engagement, and how can partners be a part of that process?
You know, it's interesting. You really have to give people multiple opportunities to engage, because what if you're working? What you know, you don't have a sitter. How can you give your thoughts on this project? And so we're creating multiple ways for folks to engage, whether online. There's a project webpage on Louisville Metro Government's website where you can go and actually look at some of the outreach materials, the one pager, and all the display boards. You can go and look at those things online. You can also, you know, feel free to engage with any social media posts, and Louisville Metro is listening there. We're also going to do some passive things, some pop-up things with the housing communities right on 9th Street, putting things in the elevator, bringing this project to them so that we can give them the opportunity to tell us what they think as well. And so there's a mixture of things that we will do to continue engaging on this project. And I'm happy to take Jonathan on the road with me and speak to any group that wants to learn more about this project. There's so many ways for people to engage. We are going to bring those initial design alternatives more formally in June and start looking at kind of that NEPA process of how we incorporate community and stakeholder engagement into the design and the documentation of that. So that's happening more in June. But all throughout the project, between now and end of year, we're really looking for folks to feel free to reach out to us and check all the different information sources to learn more about the project.
Well, thank you, guys. You know, we got just enough time for closing comments, but I just want to thank you all for being here tonight. And I want to be clear, too, that we stand with you in support of your work and are available to partner with you in the space of community engagement, which is part of our expertise as an organization. And I do a lot of that work and certainly involved in co-leading community engagement with the Waterfront Expansion Project. And I just sense the need to synergize these efforts. And, you know, certainly I talked about the three touch points that we're concerned about as an organization. But we're not just looking after our interests as an organization. We're looking after the interests of the whole community as we support this effort. So thank you, guys. We do have enough time for closing comments. And Michael, if you're still there, I'd like you to close us with a few closing comments.
Yeah, and thanks for having us on today. This is really great and a great conversation. And we hope to see everyone out there this evening. But as we've said, this community engagement isn't a one-time opportunity. We're going to keep the community engaged throughout this process, whether it be at the initial sort of design phase all the way through the construction component at the end. But ultimately, this is a really exciting project. This is one that was at the top priority for the previous administration and is a top priority for this current administration. So it's something that we're really excited to be moving forward with. We want to get this project done as fast as we can, but we also want to make sure that we get it done correctly. So while we'll be moving expeditiously throughout, we also want to make sure that we're doing this, that it's something that people feel that they're reflected in. So the engagement part is going to be really critical. So we really hope to see a lot of people out there tonight.
Absolutely. We're going to be out there in number tonight. Jonathan?
Kind of like Mike said, I mean, this is a very exciting opportunity, but it's also a serious responsibility that we as the design team take to make sure that this is we take this once in a generation opportunity and we really do it in a way that's correct. And that's what the community wants. So again, getting that input is going to be key.
And Amir, close.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this project. We've been talking about 9th Street for a long time. This is the project that does something about it. And we look forward to working with the community and really doing this with them and moving forward together in a way that benefits the future. So really excited, very personal project for me.
Again, thank all three of you for being here. Just to our listening audience, the Reimagine 9th Street Kickoff Project is tonight at 5 p.m. at Old Walnut Street, 1300 West Muhammad Ali Boulevard. It's a free event, and you're welcome to come and learn and share your perspectives. Also, next Thursday morning, we are pleased to be the host site for the Simmons Transform Louisville 2024 Breakfast. That's a ticketed event, but you're welcome to get a ticket and join Simmons College of Kentucky. That's next Thursday, February 29th at 8 a.m. You're going to be hearing us talk more about our upcoming big month of March next week. Our 75-year anniversary annual meeting is going to be held March 21st. You'll be hearing more talk about that. That's going to conclude today's show. This is Black History Month, and as you continue this journey throughout the month, stay safe, be blessed, God bless you, and we'll be back next week.
Thank you for listening to Russell on the Move, LCCC's weekly affairs update on Russell and surrounding neighborhoods in West Louisville. We hope you enjoyed our show and took away news you can use to help lift your spirits and increase your prosperity. Join us next week as we continue our mission, equity advancement and community empowerment. For now, be safe, be blessed. Until we meet again, the LCCC, leading with vision, educating on economic mobility, advancing equity, developing quality.